One might be mistaken that this is a committee of justice and constitutional development because of the maker guru that I'm present. But thank you for coming. All of you, Johan, it has been some time that I've seen you. And thank your advice of just accepting the name. That is far better. And advocate for the mother. You are all welcome. I am Tumsan Kamet, the chair of this committee, because there are some learned friends who will introduce ourselves from my left onwards.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Kopeka Mtileni, and I'm the committee secretary for this committee.
I am from Limpopo Province. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Dave Evans, Gauteng.
Morning. Kenneth Sinclair, Northern Cape.
Good morning. Abdullah Hanifa, I'm the committee researcher.
Roch Nadu, parliamentary liaison officer.
Simpiwa Ngwana, the DTI. Like the National Exchange, the DTI.
My name is Johan Strydom. I'm an internal law advisor with the DTI. Good morning to everybody.
Mohamed Kweta, state law advisor. Good morning.
Good morning. Charmaine Fanamara. I'm the parliamentary legal advisor.
Morning. My name is Chileshe from PMG.
Thank you. You know, Honorable Adam just went out. He'll come back. Other members are not available. You know, there are elections in the DRC. Others have been deployed there. But some of the members will join us. Today we are getting this briefing. It is fortunate that we once had an informal briefing on this matter. We just requested and then we said we'll get a formal one. That we do have some idea. This is a good presentation. We believe the presentation of this bill is transformative. It's long overdue. If it happens that we cannot finalize it today. If it happens, the chances are 50-50 because some of the members are not in. We'll ask for a slot next week in our meeting for an 1 hour to finish off if it happens. So we've made that proviso. But the idea is to finish it today. To the department, I'll give you now the opportunity to make the presentation.
Thanks, Chair, and honorable members, and my colleagues on my left-hand side and the right-hand side. Thanks for the warm welcome. Before I start, I would like to mention that the DDG, Zodwan Tuli, is not available, but she is with another committee, portfolio committee, on something, gambling and something. So that's why she's not here. So I'm standing in her shoes. So.
Sorry. The presenter said he's standing in her shoes. We were just discussing whether it's high heels or flat shoes.
Okay. No, thanks. Thanks. The delegation from the DTI is myself, Zodra has already apologized, myself, McDonald, Ms. Tenge, and then there is a third one, our apology, is Simpiwe Mwana. He's a gentleman on my right-hand side. We sent two documents, so the other one didn't appear with the name. So the contents, as the chair has already said, is that we will talk about the purpose, the rationale, that is the reasoning behind why we want this bill to be passed, the policy objectives, the legal options, and forms of intellectual property. IP stands for intellectual property. Areas of amendment to the existing intellectual property act, and then recommendation and conclusion. So the purpose is to apprise the select committee about the existing intellectual property law and identify areas that need to be amended to factor in indigenous knowledge imperatives. The rationale for regulation of indigenous knowledge systems, a legal protection of indigenous knowledge should be considered in an inclusive manner and not as an end in itself. This involves a reflection on broader issues such as the respect for indigenous knowledge, the needs and interests of indigenous communities, the promotion of indigenous-based creativity and innovation as ingredients of sustainable development. Just to give an example of respect for indigenous knowledge, yesterday in the business day, there was an article that was talking about the Hoodia plant, to say the Hoodia plant has got side effects, something of that sort. But the salient point from my side is to say, people say this indigenous knowledge or plants, they don't have healing properties. Generally, that's what they say. They want to come and poach. When we're fighting in South Africa whether we should protect it or not, they are researching behind the scenes. And then they are saying it has got side effects and the like. So that is the salient point that I want to bring it. Whether it is poisonous or not, the fact is at night people come and poach our genetic resources and then wanting to come with patents and not benefiting the community where it comes from. I think that is the point which I want to drive. Policy objective, to provide a legal framework for protection of the rights of indigenous holders, to empower communities to commercialize and trade on IK. So that would be a plant, as an example. The knowledge comes from the Khoisans and the Dutch descendants. Generally, they work together in the olden days. So is rooibos. They work together, and then they are exporting it like rooibos. So we are saying also give recognition to those local communities, whether in a form of royalties, money, or just to say it comes from the Glen William area. That is the recognition. To improve the livelihoods of IK holders and communities, sometimes ago we gave a statistic of rooibos that it generates to the country and also to the local community more than 160 million South African rand. To benefit the national economy, because taxes are paid, to conserve the environment, to prevent misappropriation or biopiracy, and to prevent exploitation without recognition. I think it seems repetitive, but they are talking on their own. In the Indian area, you know, the basmati rice was also made in South Africa, in the U.S. It was trademarked, so therefore India lost that name, basmati. They cannot export it to the U.S. under the basmati. Whatever, it's treated as generic or somebody holds a trademark. They also did it to the rooibos, And then we assisted the local community. We gave them $1 million to defend the case because the market was closed. So it was cancelled in the U.S., that trademark. So they are freely exporting. So these are the issues which made us to say, let us come with a policy and a bill and protect this issue legally. So the legal options are as follows. We have to amend the existing intellectual property laws. So existing IP laws can protect indigenous knowledge as it stands now. It has got its limitation. We are not pretending that it does not have its limitation. IP laws deal with commercialization and will prevent exploitation by third parties. And then the Patents Amendment Act was amended in 2005. Here is an example of what happened. The Biodiversity Act of 2004 says whenever you want to innovate around genetic resources, plants in South Africa, you need a permit. You need to talk to the local communities so that there can be a benefit sharing. But it is not enough. If we did not amend the Patents Act, people were going to the DTI now, to another department, and then patent whatever comes from the genetic resources without appreciating those people. So as we are running a government, we have to complement each other. That's what happened. So the Patents Act was amended in order to close the loophole of people going to another department and then exporting without appreciating. So we are saying we are responsible for intellectual property. We will do whatever we can do. That's what we are. That's why we are here. However, other government departments can come with other legislation to protect indigenous knowledge from another perspective. Here we are talking about commercialization. So biodiversity did whatever it did within its mandate. But if we didn't do what we said in the Patents Amendment Act, it was still going to be open for exploitation. So the Department of Agriculture, we are advising them to amend their legislation now because it does not talk about protection of indigenous knowledge. There is indigenous knowledge in agricultural areas. And then the Department of Arts and Culture, they can do that from preservation purposes. So the legislation here may be called the sui generis legislation. That is what sui generis means. It means a law of a special kind. Other government departments have already said, therefore, South African policy, what is it saying? That is the Indigenous Knowledge System Policy, which was done by DAHST, Departments of Arts, Culture, Science and Technology, before they split. A task team was formed, we participated in that, and then what happened is that they said, use both systems to protect indigenous knowledge. And then the Biodiversity Act also is doing that, the Patents Act is doing that. That was in 2004 and 2005, following the 2004 Indigenous Knowledge System Policy. So I'm coming with the forms of intellectual property. Patents is one of them. The other one is the trademark. And then I will give example. The other one is the design. The fourth one is copyright. We may talk about the fifth one, performance protection, but it will come within context. So the patents generally have a lifespan of 20 years. It can be any form of technology or medicine, like the issue of cell phones. These are technologies. Medicine, the drugs that we drink, they can be patented. And indigenous knowledge is inputted into the modern invention. That issue of woodier plant, as an example, for slim pill and etc. The World Intellectual Property Organization deals with international treaties. Well, see, there is a problem. It just went out. Yes, I hope everybody has a Christian hard copy. Yes, I was on page. Okay, thanks, Sarah. We are on page 4, or slide, page 4. So we were saying the Intellectual Property Organization in Geneva is a UN agency. It deals with intellectual property. So it's also UNEP. It is not written there, it's bullet number number 3. It will give context on certain issues. UNEP is the United Nations Environmental Program. This program is the one which meets, and then it talks about COP 10, COP 15, COP 17. Now we have COP 17 here. It deals with biological diversity, the Convention on Biological Diversity. It is the one which said there is a problem. Whenever we go to these third world countries, let's say tropical countries, we see that people there, when the malaria, what mosquito bites them, nothing happens to them. But when the Western people, professor, come and they are attacked by mosquito, they suffer from malaria and they die. What is happening here? So research was done. And then it was found that the professors now, after finding that these people have got a certain skill or knowledge, they take that knowledge and go and patent all over the world without appreciating the local people. So this COP, I've forgotten which COP, they took a decision and wrote letters to WIPO, the World Intellectual Property Organization, to the WTO, World Trade Organization, Food Agriculture Organization, to say, please attend to intellectual property issues here. And then that's what happened. That's why we are here. So that's the relationship of our COP 17 probably. And then they demanded that whenever you work with the local communities, you must have a prior informed consent. You must disclose origin of the genetic material. A good example in this area, recently you saw that there is a Alice or Masakani community. Okay? Yes. Yes, the Masakani community that is in Alice, Duquesne, Eastern Cape. Nestle worked with that community. After they worked together, they ran to patent without appreciating that community. And then fortunately, WIPO and the other organization, the Basel people, they found out that there is a genetic resource from South Africa. Nestle is a Swiss company, and then the genetic resources are from South Africa, so there is a duty in terms of the COP things to say disclose the material, where you got the material. So it was all over the newspapers. So therefore, whilst we are sitting here, other issues are happening, and then we are coming here to say, please, let's have a protection. That's all. That's why we're here. And then you must disclose indigenous community that we worked with, prior informed consent. So the disclosure issue was done by the Patent Amendment Act. However, it was only the Patent Amendment Act, not the trademark. We didn't talk about the trademark then, 2005. We didn't talk about the copyright. We didn't talk about the design, as well as the Performance Protection Act. So in simple terms, we are saying what we did in 2005, let's do it now in other domains of the Act. Because we also have a Wudia or what is it, Mbube equivalent in folklore. We call it maybe contemporary music. and you find that 90% of that contemporary jazz comes from the folklore from a particular community, and that community is not appreciated. That's what we are seeing here. Forms of IP, the other one is trademarks. Trademarks is 10 years protection, and then the next 10 years you renew, you are given that 10 years. After 10 years again you renew, so therefore it's perpetual. Because people who criticize this deal, they say no, the lifespan of intellectual property is limited, and therefore that's not what the communities want. We say, okay, maybe you are right, but there is this issue called trademark, that you can trademark it and then renew it indefinitely. Therefore, it is akin to perpetual protection. I'm just giving an example under trademark. So a trademark, an example of it, it may be Coke. It may be MTN, as an example. So all these brands names, some of them, they've got a component of indigenous knowledge. Rooibos is another story, it's not trademarked, but we'll talk about geographical indication later. So why can't we protect Rooibos under the trademark or geographical indication? I will explain later. So the issue of a geographical indication, let me clear it now, is a product that is peculiar to a particular area due to skills or climate or soil type, e.g. rooibos, honeybush, and then geographical indication in South Africa in the main is exercised under the issue of wine and spirits. French hook, wines that came with the French Huguenot here in South Africa. We inherited their skills and the like. They're South African now, but what is happening between South Africa and Europe, Western Europe, they would like those names to be renowned, and then we are saying no, it was our. It is our culture now. Because of the climate of the Cape, the soil conditions in the Cape, we have come with something different. It's not the same as the French wine. So therefore, about the names, we can talk about the names, but the skills of the French people who came here voluntarily from our side, it's our inheritance. We also have this issue of trademarks called collective or certification marks, which are geographical indicators. And then certification marks in the area of wine, you may see that you find that in a wine is written certified, say by boards, that they have got boards. Or sometimes they can write Vini du Cap, wine of the Cape. So you cannot write wine of the Cape, whereas it comes from Durban. Understand? In case they say now they also have wine, so you will be misleading the community. Wala, sorry. So there. I hope I'm a good teacher. Yes. Okay. So the lifespan is perpetual, I've already said. However, in certain instances, they are standalone. That is a trademark and a geographical indicator. So our ministers or agriculture minister can also declare something to be a geographical indicator. It has been done by Mexico in the area of tequila, that is some liquor. Sorry, we are talking about brands, but now we are emphasizing liquor for some other reason, but we are just giving examples. So tequila, it is declared. However, China, as an example, is not recognizing it because they say 5,000 years ago, China was dealing with tequila. So these are trade wars, but we are just indicating that after this deal has been passed, we will have to request other jurisdictions to recognize our name. That's all what we are saying here. Copyright is another form of intellectual property. Generally, it is the lifespan of the author plus 50 years. After that, it goes into the public domain. Examples are books, CDs, computer software. The copyright, this one I will read for you so that you see the correct analysis. Copyright regime can protect indigenous knowledge, as it has been said earlier, as follows. I'm reading now. The elements and principles of copyright system are relevant to the protection of folklore, because many folklore are literary and artistic productions, and therefore already or potentially the subject matter of copyright protection. E.g., music storytelling emanating from communities. So therefore, we may have a problem with, is it Phenom Sobe? Phenom Sobe, where he compiled that book, and then seeing Xhosa, or Zeremi saying Nguni, what Nguni thinks, and then later she said, copyright reserved, Phenom Sobe, full stop. Then we have a problem there, because she collated from the community. They also taught her how to dance. So, we are saying, if she dances in a certain manner that can offend that particular community, that community should have a remedy. We call it moral right in the copyright language. To say, no, you are not dancing my song well. I gave you copyright, I don't have a problem. But the way you dance it, it is offending me. Let me give you a bad example. In the African, in country, I've forgotten, Central Africa, they banned certain dances where they say people are using, what is it, they are using their weight too much. So they say they are banning it, it's not kwasa kwasa. They banned that dance. No, not quite as well. But here in South Africa, you may have, I'm just giving an example. Let's say a Sotho dress. What do we call it? And then you do a mini skirt as an example. And then the Sotho may come up to say, no, we think that's not how it should be done. We feel offended. These are the issues which you were just giving as an example, but certain issues. Last one, I didn't want to talk about Domba. Domba, it is referred to as snake dance. I don't know where it comes from. But Domba, that one. Domba, the vendors may take an issue with people to say, but the way you dance it, it's okay, we are naked, inverted commas, but the way how you are doing it, it causes the lie. Yeah, these are the issues which we are bringing to the fore. Okay.
That's why I paused.
Okay, thanks. I'm in the area of design. A good example of a design is the shape of this bottle and the like. This water may not be having any taste, but because of the design of the bottle, I may be interested, yes. So we are saying there are also designs in the area of indigenous knowledge. And then it is being married with other cultures, say Western culture. And then you get a byproduct. And therefore, after that, we are saying appreciate the community where it comes from. Other issues, derivative design is also the same as a copyright. You can also have a derivative copyright as long as it means the definition of originality. So it's the same in the area of derivative design. So here we are going to take some clauses in the bill and try to say we want to achieve 1, 2, 3. Example is registration and identification. It will facilitate registration in other area of indigenous knowledge for protection from unlawful use. Registration will be done through the Companies Act and Companies and Intellectual Property Commission. That is the commission that was formed by, in terms of the Companies Act, that was passed by this honorable committee a year ago or this year, the Amendment Act. All four pieces of legislation should be amended to have clauses such as the one in the Patent Amendment Act, A, disclosure of prior informed consent, and then disclose the knowledge used from the community, and then also disclose a benefit sharing agreement. There is a Performance Protection Act, which to a certain extent it was amended. However, the bulk of it has been moved to the Copyright Act because a performer dances, but whatever rights generally he or she has is protected under the Copyright Act. And then the definition of a community, we are saying this issue was debated a lot, and then we are saying it should be flexible but allows improvements by cost and should be informed by other relevant legislation. It should not be static. In other words, we are saying the definition is not static. It must cater for all times to come. And all intellectual property or trade knowledge may be recorded or be placed into the IT database. Here is an example. What we are saying is that you may say, I don't want my knowledge to come to the public. You can protect it through the secret law, like Coke. Coke, they never patented what we are drinking. They jealously guard it through trade secret. When you are employed there, to a certain level, you sign confidential clauses to say you will not do 1, 2, 3. And then Coke disinvested in India some 10 years or so. Why? Because the Indian law says you can come and invest later, you must disclose. Coke said we are not prepared to disclose. So they disinvested. But now they went back. It's another era. So all in all, we are saying you can protect by going to that commission and tell the examiners to say, I'm giving you this information under confidence. Whenever you do a search of any application with you, you can look at it, but don't tell the outside world. So that is the deposit that we're talking about. Another provision in the area of trademarks, we are saying prohibit registration of indigenous knowledge without consent or offensive to a particular public, as we talked about. In the area of trademarks and the design, moral rights should be introduced. They are there already in the Act. Licensing of indigenous rights for identification and recognition of the original owner and ability to assign same to third parties and right to use IK for commercial purposes. Exchange of knowledge from the owner to the third party subject to prior informed consent. Compensation for use provides for negotiation of benefit sharing. Here maybe we can pause, but Johan and Mungameli and Van der Merwe, they will substantiate later. What we are saying is that this bill will come into force, for example, today. What about things that were taken before this bill came into us? So we are saying we'll start from today onwards. We are not going backwards. So, but they will explain later. The other issue is that there can be databases to be created within the committee. When you have that database, some of the things need not to be revealed. That's what we are saying. The principle of data protection should be recognized, like the Coke example that I did. A national council with specific roles to be treated, to be created in terms of all IP legislation, business enterprises such as community trusts, cooperatives, to be formed and need to manage and protect IK in communities. The other provisions is that currently that this bill is not in place, we have the court for dispute resolution. In the area of intellectual property, we also have a copyright tribunal, trademark tribunal. These are mini courts. Tribunal is a mini court in order to cater access to the justice system in this area. But we are saying we are dealing with poor people. Is it indigent? Something like that. Was indigent, yeah. I think it's good English. Yeah. Indigent. These are poor people. And then we may put systems in place, but when there is a dispute, to go to court, they don't have money. And then we are saying we introduce alternative dispute resolution. They are there. And then the court will have inherent jurisdiction. But we are saying nobody, when a dispute emanates, should first go to court. You must first go to this community structure and solve those issues. But if you want to appeal or to take it on review, you can do that, but first exhaust the issue. It's like a discipline within an organization. You first exhaust the internal disciplinary measures. Another area is that the duration of protection for derivative works of copyright and design is limited. However, if it is jointly owned, it can be perpetual. That's what we are saying, because the community does not just decide to disappear today. These are repetitions. Then this bill will also need to do recording, documenting, and storage, create a database or sub-databases of IP and indigenous knowledge for storage, education and awareness of communities to educate on social development issues associated with indigenous knowledge. So the issue of enforcement structures, the National Council is only to advise the examiners as well as the minister. And then alternative dispute resolution, we have already talked about. Community trust, these are legal people, persons in law, they can defend the rights of the community, like any other company. We also have collecting societies. These structures can negotiate their rights on behalf of the community for benefit sharing. And then there is also a national trust, that will be formed. This one will be the owner of orphan work. Orphan work will mean there comes a situation where you can have indigenous knowledge, but you can no longer trace it to a particular community. But we know that it is a South African. So therefore, that national trust will be having a responsibility of taking care of that. And then they can commercialize it, and then the money or royalty should be used only for development of indigenous knowledge-related issues, not to go to the national fiscal, and then you find that it is used maybe for road purposes. No, it should be used for the development of indigenous knowledge. And then, lastly, that is the conclusion. We are saying we are not inventing the wheel. We are not the first people to do this. There are other countries that have done that. Brazil also did that. India, in the area of patents, they have done that. Internationally, there is no international agreement. What does it mean? If you have an international agreement and then the countries ratify that, it is binding to all of us. As for now, we don't have anything. So one of the arguments that is being used is to say, why do you want to protect now? Let's wait for international agreement. And this agreement may take another 10 years. I'm just exaggerating, because we started in 2000 at WIPO. Nothing has happened up so far. And then I'm saying it may take another 10 years to conclude. Even if it is concluded, a country has got a right to join or not to join. They will say it will come into operation when 50 countries have ratified. The countries may not ratify. What is happening here? People are still poaching here in South Africa. So therefore, we need this bill at least nationally to protect our our indigenous knowledge. Before I conclude, is that there are issues that my colleagues from the left-hand side will deal with them. One of the issues is that people have been saying, this bill, if it is passed, it will contravene international obligations. And then we talk about reciprocity. And then we talk about also retrospectivity, the issue of passing the bill today, but it goes backwards to say, are we going that route? And then we talk about the issue of constitutionality. It is unconstitutional, but we say how. But if you read our Bill of Rights, we have to protect cultural issues and the like. So this bill is just confirming that. How can we become unconstitutional? But there are those arguments. And then the issue of saying, refer this bill to the House of Traditional Leaders. We say, hey, we have got another view, but they will substantiate on that. And another issue is that because there is a trust somewhere here, so therefore this bill is a money bill. It needs to be with the National Department of Finance. There is a process there. We said, no, we are not convinced. So my colleagues, I'm just implicating my colleagues to deal with these issues, and then we conclude, and then we take the matter from there. Thank you.
I thought the learned friends would first comment and add before we give it to the members. Before, so that you give your legal perspective.
Thank you, Chair. I think maybe at the outset we see so many different kinds of bills, unfortunately. This is one of those bills that is not that reader-friendly, even for us who have been involved with this bill for a long period of time. Even this morning in the office, if we're reflecting on some matters, we have to read and read again. So with your permission, Chair, please allow me maybe to illustrate by way of example. My colleague, Mr. Netsitenze, has indicated that there has been a few contentious issues pertaining to constitutionality, the possibility of the retrospective application of this bill, and maybe whether there is not something else unconstitutional about this bill as it relates to possible infringements on vested rights. Allow me to latch on to McDonald's example of this very bottle. He has already indicated that we see the water in there, but this bottle is based on a design that is registered in terms of the Designs Act. So somewhere there is a proprietor or a owner of this design. The immediate question arises now, if this bill would become law, and after the commencement of this law, it is detected that this design in this bottle has in fact been derived from an indigenous design that had been in existence in an indigenous community long before the date of registration of the design in this bottle. What would be the legal consequence? If, for instance, we assume that there is a person who for a period of 10 years prior to the commencement of this law has been making use of the design in this bottle and has been deriving commercial benefit from that design. Now this law is passed, and allow me to turn to page 32 of the bill, please, sir. It's page 32, it's right at the top there. It's clause 53F. I'm not going to read it. We can all do it better than I can do, but I will try and illustrate on the basis of this provision. What it says is that once this law has been passed, the person who has been making prior use of the design in this bottle can continue to do so. The application of this law will not prevent that person from making use of that design, even in the future. The only question is, if commercial benefit is derived in future from making use of this traditional design, then royalties will be payable to the indigenous community who is the owner of the traditional design that this bottle relates to. So if we think in terms of the possibility of the unconstitutionality of this bill, the way we see it, the answer is simply this, that the bill does not affect in any way rights that had been in existence prior to the commencement of this law. It has no retrospective application in that regard whatsoever. What the law does say is that after commencement, if you do carry on and make use of this design, you need to pay royalties to the community that is rightful owners of that design. So it only has future application as opposed to retrospective application. The question as to whether it impacts on vested rights, the way we see it, the person that has been making use of this design is in fact in a very favorable position, because for all the use that he or she had been making by the use of this design prior to the commencement of the law, nothing would be payable. It is only from commencement that the royalties would be payable. There was a written opinion in this regard. I think it has been made available to the committee members, but I think we can, in fairness, say to the committee that we are satisfied that the bill does not contain any provisions that are unconstitutional or has adverse retrospective application. If I can leave it at that for the time being, Chair.
Montgomery.
I think it's a question. The issue I'm going to touch upon is the issue that was raised, whether this bill is a money bill or not, and also the issue of whether the bill has been correctly tagged at the Section 75. And related to that, whether the bill needs to be formally submitted to the National House of Traditional Leaders, Chair. Briefly, Chair, the issue of the bill being a money bill, the guidance for that can be heard from Section 77 of the Constitution, because the Constitution says that a money bill is a bill that appropriate money imposes national taxes, levies, duties, and also authorizes direct charge from the National Revenue Fund. That would be the money bill. But now this bill, Chair, there is a fund being established in terms of the bill. But this fund is the fund's purpose is for the royalties or benefits that have been derived from the commercialization of indigenous knowledge. And then those funds will be submitted to the national fund, the TARC fund, and then distributed to the indigenous communities from where this indigenous knowledge came from. Therefore, there is a distinction between the National Revenue Fund envisaged in the Constitution and also the fund established by the PHA. So there's a completely two completely different issues. Labor shares, the bill is really not a money bill. There are no taxes being charged here or imposed on individuals. Labor share, we disagree that the bill would be a 775 bill or money bill. And then the other issue, Chair, that was raised was the issue of whether the bill has been correctly tagged as a Section 75. Based on that, Chair, the issue, Chair, that was raised was that the bill deals with customary law and traditional knowledge, or rather traditional leadership, Chair. Now, you know that the bill in the Constitution, Chair, Schedule 4 the Constitution, is the list there on the functional areas. And one of those functional areas, Chair, is a customary law, Chair. Now, Chair, if you look at the bill itself, it does not really deal with customary law as such. It only intends to protect and commercialize indigenous knowledge. And so I don't believe that the board can go into the case of Tumwani where the test of taking was elaborated on, Chair, that what we should do is to look at all the provisions of the field itself and see whether, in substantial measure, those provisions fall within a functional area in Schedule 4. Therefore, in this respect, Chair, it would be the area of indigenous customary law. Therefore, Chair, this case, Chair, says that if we want to say the bill, a bill, due to customary law, then the provisions of that bill, Chair, must be replacing and amending and codifying that indigenous law. Now, Chair, the provisions of the bill, if you look at all of them, they don't deal with indigenous law, Chair. And this case also said, Chair, indigenous law must not be dealt with in the abstract. They will share the subject matter of the indigenous law that must be taken into account. Whether that indigenous law in the bill deals with matrimonial property law, interstate succession, or occupation of communal land, that was an example made in this particular court case, Chair. But now if you look at the bill really doesn't deal at all with indigenous law. It doesn't even interfere with communities and tell the communities, your indigenous law, you must develop it in this way, you must design your indigenous law in this way, and your trademarks and everything, you must do them in this way. The bill doesn't do that at all. It's just on the surface that it intends to protect the indigenous communities, indigenous knowledge, so that if it is commercialized, these indigenous communities do benefit. Therefore, Chair, the bill is correctly taken to 775, not 776, Chair, because its provisions do not fall under Schedule 4 of the Constitution. And then there was this issue of whether the bill needed to be submitted to the National House of Traditional Leaders. First of all, Chair, Parliament may consult anybody, Chair, including the National House of Traditional Leaders. Chair. Nothing precludes Parliament from engaging with the National House of Traditional Leaders, Chair. But legally, as a legal requirement, Chair, the bill did not necessarily have to be submitted to the National House of Traditional Leaders as part of the formal processes of Parliament, Chair. Because the bill does not really deal with customary law and issues of traditional leadership, Chair. Therefore, Chair, we still stand with that view, Chair, that this bill has been correctly tagged, Chair, the Section 75 bill, the Section 76 bill, you know, the Section 77 bill, the money bill, and it doesn't really need to be referred to the National House of Traditional Leaders as part of the processes of Parliament, Chair. There was also the issues that were raised during the processing of the bill, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honourable members, the only issue that is left for me to discuss is international obligation. But as I am here as parliamentary legal advisor, I would like to confirm just that from parliament side or the parliamentary service side, we have looked at the issue of retrospectivity and constitutionality as discussed by Advocate Stradom. We could not find that this bill is in any way retrospective. We could not find that because the constitutionality issue to some extent focused on whether there's expropriation of existing rights. And we could not find that that is the case. In fact, what we are of the opinion is that this bill gives more rights than there should be. Because what we have at the moment is that someone is using Indigenous knowledge for profits without acknowledging the author thereof. In other words, if that author had registered that right, that product, this would have been infringement of that right. What this bill does is to say, look, we will not regard this as infringement. Your use will be protected, but you must acknowledge. So there is no expropriation. In respect of the tagging, we agree that this is not a money bill. It just does not. It is not even possible. If you read Section 77 of the Constitution, it does not fall within that definition. And referral to the House of Traditional Leaders, also on the Dongguani case that Advocate Kreta has referred to, dealing with customary law or custom and dealing with, indicated by the court, to be something that amends or codifies. This is not what this bill is trying to do. This bill is simply saying that there is something out there at the moment. Our current intellectual property system is not friendly enough to incorporate and give protection, and we are doing that. So what this bill is dealing with is intellectual property law, and therefore it does not have to be referred. Then on the last issue, international obligation, the Portfolio Committee on Trade and Industry engaged a number of experts when this bill was redrafted. One of those experts is on the South African Institute of Intellectual Property Law, and she requested from their international committee input on whether this bill is breaching. And their finding was that there is nothing. There is no problem. We are not breaching international agreements. The big criteria, I think, that stood out was national treatment. Are we affording nationals of other countries the same protection that we are giving to our communities here? Now, I think there's a tiny bit of maybe of a misunderstanding from on the side of people who are criticizing and saying this bill is contravening, because you cannot say that a South African community is exactly the same as a community in America. It doesn't compute. But what we have provided for is the amendments to the copyright, to the trademarks, and to the Designs Act. We have included an international obligations section. If I can maybe refer you on the bill, on page 16, there is section 28N, compliance with international agreements. That section is almost word for word repeated with the amendments to the Trademarks Act on page 26 of this bill, section 43K. And the same in respect of design on page 34, section 53K. So what we provide there is that the minister cannot say that another community is exactly the same as South African community. That's not possible. But what the minister can do is to say that a community in another country can be afforded the exact same rights in respect of their indigenous knowledge created back home in America or Brazil or wherever. That kind of protection they will be able to get here. And that is national treatment. So in our opinion, and then, as I said, supported by the South African Institute for Intellectual Property Law, there is no breach of international agreement. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Now, members have heard a presentation from the department and had comments from the legal gurus. Now it's up to us now. Questions of clarity or questions so that we can move forward to the bill. Hoshi, Honorable Dehale, and then Honorable Abram. Let's start. We've agreed that we'll start with the ladies.
Thank you, Chairperson. I don't know whether I'll be out of the topic, but they will help me. I just want to know how are they going to protect the bill is going to protect the knowledge of our grandparents, especially the traditional leaders who were using this plant to heal their disease. Let me just say they were using it as for medicinal purpose, and then now it's been abused by the others, and they cannot use it anymore. Like when the people were suffering from stroke, I heard that they were using that plant to heal the stroke, and the people, if they were suffering for hot flashes, they were not using the tablets, they were using that plant. And so many, many things. And that is Zaha. Yes, it is. So they were using it for medicinal purpose. I just want to know how our people, or let me just say, how is the bill going to protect that? And I really support the idea of taking this to the traditional leaders, because they are the most important people who knows everything about this plant. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, I also want to, my question, actually, I'm not a legal guru, but I also want to know what is the fear of taking it to the house of the traditional leaders? Because I also feel that it should actually go there, because the traditional leaders is absolutely the people that they know best in the indigenous areas. Then also the copyright is protected is for a limited period. And what happens to the people that's been, before the bill has been passed, what happens to those people, because they've been there and been using it, and now they have the opportunity, and they won't be beneficiaries, but maybe other people will benefit out of it. Then also I want to know how many public hearings were held. I know you've had public hearings because there's still people that claim that they don't know about it. And also the international agreement, and yes, I'm not a legal guru, but I just want to understand why can't we, you know, go broader. And how do we get all these people registered onto the database? Thank you.
Hello, Sintler.
Okay, you know, if the Net Attenders and the Tridoms and the Panamera spoken, you a bit afraid to respond, you know, because they've got a history of making good academic inputs on many issues, you know. But I just want to add my voice in terms of the consultation. I see at the back there's a list, and although it's quite a comprehensive list, the Constitutional Court is very strong on the issue of collective consultations and so on. So the critical question for me is, was the consultation enough? Link that to the issue about the House of Traditional Leaders and so on. Then naturally it seems that there's a cost implication. Firstly, what is that cost implication going to be, the estimates, and who's going to carry it? What department is going to carry it? Because I see in the reference that it's still a broad concept. Then, Chair, in terms of the tagging, I hear about 74 and 75, but I hear nothing about the 76, Section 76. Why can't, given the fact that it seems that there's quite a debate about the traditional leaders, and in many cases the House of Traditional Leaders establishing themselves now, why can't it be tagged as a Section 76? And then, Chair, the issue, I see there's a definition in the Act for indigenous community. But what is an indigenous community? It is a difficult debate. It's not an easy debate, and I think one must be careful about how we define an indigenous community. You know, in the province that I come from, we've got the Volkstaat. Now, if you take that debate further and just your mind starts to run away with you in terms of indigenous communities, there's a lot of attachment that can be added to that whole thing, you know. And I think one must be aware of the fact that South Africa is a unity state. Yeah, and Chair, I was very excited when I hear Mr. Sense speak about COP and Coke and so on. I was just hoping he was going to the COPE, you know. Because there's a very interesting debate, Mr. Sense, about that document that some political parties like to quote very frequently, you know, the Freedom Charter. Now, once again, if you can take this debate further in terms of this indigenous knowledge and indigenous property, if I can use the example, for instance, of the Freedom Charter, I mean, COPE is very proud to say, no, it's our document. But this other party that I forgot the name now of, they also say, no, it's our document, you know. So, you see, that whole issue about the indigenous knowledge, the further arguments, I think, is the one that we must try and contextualize. So, it's an interesting debate. I don't know where we're going to end with this one, but it's an interesting debate.
I'm sure we'll reserve the comment about COP17 and the Coke. We'll reserve our comment. Hoshi?
I'm happy that you mentioned the bodies and the organization consulted. I just want to know whether when they were consulting KwaZulu-Natal, they were having contra lesa from the whole country, or were they only consulting only the traditional leaders in KwaZulu-Natal and the Western province? Because normally I know they will call a conference whereby they will meet at a certain place. So if they did that, then the traditional leaders are having a knowledge of this place. Thank you.
Yeah, before you ask, you respond, I'll make two honest comments and maybe two questions. Firstly, is that some people say that if you want some legal advice, you go to the lawyers, and if you employ 12 of them to get some advice, you'll get 12 different opinions. And then it's left up to you to decide which one. The second one, which I think is very important, is that of late, Parliament has been losing some cases in court, generally. It's either through a technical or a procedural matter. In most cases, they say lack of consultation. And I think this has worried us in Parliament. I think that is why some members are asking about consultation and who exactly do you consult, because we're losing cases even in the Constitutional Court. That is a way of a comment. Now, I know, I'll speak about something that I know. You know, in the disability sector, this looks and it says nothing about us without us. Now, here we're talking about the indigenous communities. And these are the people we're trying to protect. What role the very same people are they playing in this? You know, nothing about them without them. It could be through that consultation process, but what role are they doing? Because you're actually trying to protect them, irrespective of all the bodies and organizations that have been consulted. Lastly, as a way forward, how do you protect the protected? You know, you come as a department, you want to protect this indigenous knowledge. It is now being protected by means of a law. But there is a possibility that even someone from that section can tap into that knowledge and give it out to somebody else. It's not something common, but it's a possibility. But how do you protect the thing that is protected, that it should not be taken or abused? If I can put an example, because McDonald won't take offense to this. McDonald is leading this. But he might share this information with other, or someone else, or with another group. And where is that protection? Should we find that McDonald is disposing of this information because he was privy to this, because he had this indigenous knowledge? Is there any other member? If there's no any other member, but I'd want the two other members, because one member is mentioned in this bill from another province, so they must introduce themselves. The two other members, please.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for coming late, man. Sorry for coming late. Sorry for coming late. My name is Colin Mayino. I'm from the North West.
Chair, I apologize for coming late. As you know, we've got different meetings from another meeting. My name is Bafunani Aaron Mguni from the Free State.
Yeah, I just wanted to highlight the Northwest because it is being mentioned in the piece that the consultations there in the Northwest. Okay, McDonald.
No, thanks. The questions are coming from protracted areas, so I will talk to some of them, but in my presentation I indicated that the issue, say, of tagging 75, 76, 77, something like that, Mwenga Mili will intervene, and Sander Meva, as well as Johan, they can intervene. But let me start with the issue of consultation generally. This bill is a 2007 bill in reality. It was introduced during the previous administration of Mbeki, and then it was sort of suspended. It came into the system again currently. So consultation, to be fair, is that it went to an extent of saying, let's take Contralesa as an example. We consulted with Contralesa as mentioned in the bill. And then we went to the Eastern Cape. We hit a snake as an example. I'm trying to be honest. We hit a snake because it was during the pronouncement of the Nhlapo Commission. And then nobody wanted to take responsibility because some people were being confirmed, some being disconfirmed, to say who will come now and say I was consulted. So we were at the University of, of Fort Hare. There were the local people, the Alice community, says we indicated that there is a Nestle case and the like. Those local people came in the morning, but in the afternoon, they could not, the chiefs did not come, the kings or whatever, they didn't come. So that was an issue that happened. In KZN, it was Contralesa, which was 2-3 members, were serving in the National Executive Committee, who invited the relevant structures of Contralesa, and they came. To be honest again, when this bill was in Parliament, some people within Contralesa said, no, we were not consulted. and behind the scenes that Holomisa was referred to us by the chair of the committee, of the portfolio committee, and then discussion took place wherein the following happened, where the entire executive of Contralesa met with the DTI in Pretoria, and then issues were discussed. As an example, in the bill, we were saying when the minister appoints members of the National Council, it was saying members of the traditional healers, not leaders. But now, if we read it here, my colleague will open for me, in the national membership of a national council, you will see that we have inserted now, because of Contralesa, the entire executive, saying now we want to be specifically mentioned, traditional leaders, not healers. And then there were other two issues that were inserted there. And then that led to an issue, which honestly again, of saying how will you implement this bill, because it's dealing with people who are at communal land generally. And then that led to another issue of saying Contralesa, we would like this bill to be implemented above political, being apolitical, but what is it that we can do? We discuss, and then there is an agreement between Contralesa and the DTI. You know the program of taking the DTI to the people. The component, therefore, of this community we are talking about. Now, this agreement is signed off by the DG of the DTI and the Contralesa president to say when we go to taking the DTI to the people, this section of the community should also be on board. As to whether we will open offices in the communal land where people can register their traditional knowledge is another issue, but that Contralesa agreement is in place. As a follow-up of Contralesa consultation, the executive, entire executive, and then this bill, again, there was this public hearings held by the portfolio committee. That's where this issue was picked up. And then before it was concluded at the portfolio committee, we gave what I'm reciting now to say this happened, and then we proved to them. And then they say, okay, however, since already it was written that consultation is Contralesa, there is nothing to change, but we take into account that you reconsulted it, and I use that word. So Contralesa, there is no issue. During public hearing, again, House of Traditional Leaders, they came, the provincial, the Mpumalanga, they also came and make a submission, as an example. I'm just talking from the head, but they came. So that's the issue of consultation again. Parliament, the Portfolio Committee itself went to the Eastern Cape, taking Parliament with people again, where the chiefs and the ordinary people, I also attended that. They came, and then it was agreed that we think this is what had happened on the ground. So in our view, coupling this issue of saying you want to protect somebody, but what was the role of these people? We were talking to the ordinary people. We separated. We said the lawyers aside, because the lawyers will speak English. Then we need to go and speak the local language. Sometimes we even took our PA, because he's good at Xhosa, but my Xhosa is very, very bad, where she will need to interpret and respond in their own language. And then my colleague, when we went to Fort Hare, the local people were speaking in Xhosa, and then it was, in KZN, it was too much. A lot of people attended, in so much that he was speaking his broken Zulu, because he speaks Xhosa, but I mean the Ngunis can understand each other, so we were speaking the language. Northwest, I can also speak Tswana, my apology, but my Tswana is, I vandalized it, but I think it was with the people. Again, in the afternoon, in the morning, we met with the chiefs and the local people. In the afternoon, with the academics. The academics, these are the ones who said, where is this alternative dispute resolution? Because we are dealing with the poor. It was not with us. So it came from the ground. And then the Inyangas of Northwest also, they were talking their own languages. The dispute resolution introduced, they appreciated that. It was not in our mind. So in our view, the prison council, we tried to say we will meet with them, but we used something before when we consulted on the policy. We even asked them to say, what new things will you bring about other than the one which you told us when we dealt with the policy, the Indigenous Knowledge Policy System. That was in 2006. They said there is nothing, but there is a friction in those ones, so we could not go, but we think we have covered virtually the whole country on consultation, read together with the public hearing, referral by the portfolio committee chair to say go back and meet with the contralor. My colleague is indicating something. Page 15 of the deal. We start on page 14 on the National Council for Indigenous Knowledge. The issue which we were talking about is on page 15. BCG is the National House of Traditional Leaders. The Mpumalanga people, we worked with them. And then we also referred to the issue of traditional leaders themselves instead of traditional healers. That is ABC, an association of traditional healers, is okay, and then traditional leaders. This one is in the indication that we have done our best. That was the consultation issue. We clubbed the chairperson's comment to say, where are the local people, the real local people? Do you want to protect them without involving them? What was their role? We gave the issue of the Masakani that we... Also in the public hearing, the Masakani people also come. What their problem was to say, please, the government should assist us in negotiation, because when we talk, we discuss with this big multinational, we don't have the power. So that was an indication that we are working with the local people on the ground. The issue of protection of confidential information, since I've been working with them, it's very easy that I may jump the ship and then start to commercialize the knowledge that I got in confidence. So we are also empowering people during consultation to say, in particular the professors, because they are working with people. There is Professor Galeni in KZN. He's the one who invited all local people in different districts, the representatives. He has got a rich information, but we encourage people to say, whenever you work with McDonald's, as an example, can you generally say we are giving you the information in confidence? Even if he goes outside McDonald's one day, you can still come with an interdict to interdict McDonald's to say, we gave this information in confidence, but you abuse that. The fact that he has passed it to Johan and other people is irrelevant. There is a leading case, I think, which says McDonald's is bad, should not benefit from the information that he got from the local people, so he's abusing that. I'm trying to couple the two. So there is a remedy, but I think it's education and awareness, and probably the issue of DACA, if I may jump to it, it's a difficult one, but here our law, it does not protect the tree, the bark of the tree. This act is not protecting that. It protects somebody who has got a knowledge in that tree that maybe the sap or that the water datation from that tree, if mixed with the sand, it does the following. But we don't protect the tree. The tree itself is protected by the biodiversity, environmental affairs and the like. So I'm extracting that issue of the dark. But I also have examples, the vendors, when they do this amandos, the ancestors, the drums and the like, they do use dacha. There is a leading case in the vendor court, I think, where they were found with a limited sack where the vademu will be going to smoke. The court said, yeah, it's a practice. They are not going to trade in it, in some of that. So all in all, maybe before I conclude, is that there is also prescription of certain drugs, medicine, as long as it's prescribed by a doctor, a medical doctor. So to cut the story short, is that therefore, under the Patents Act, their knowledge will be protected, that they can mix this and that. It will come into the public domain after 20 years, but as long as it goes through what is clinical trial, that it is not going to harm the public, that can be allowed. That can be allowed. But the issue of protecting the ganja as it is another department, if it is peculiar to South Africa. But all in all is that this bill therefore protects the knowledge, the use of it. And those people actually, if they want to use it, they can do it in trade secret, like the coke. Not telling any person, they just mix the herb and give it to a person and the person is healed, as an example. So therefore, we are not so interested in the protection of the, ganja or something of that sort, marijuana. We are protecting the knowledge that can be proven that it is a medicinal property. And then if it is to become a medicinal property, it needs to go through the clinical trial with the Department of Health, as an example. But still there is a confidentiality to say, by the way, do you know that I also use 1, 2, 3? Prof, I'm giving you this in confidence. Don't reveal it to the public. That's why this, Health Practitioners Act Bill, the one which was declared unconstitutional, because of lack of consultation. There is an issue of confidentiality, which the DTI said. But it seems as if when you want to reveal, everything comes coming from the traditional healers. You are not using trade secret practice, or the issue of confidentiality of information. That was our worry. So I hope I have talked to it, but I'm not I'm only an intellectual property expert, not which field to protect, but the knowledge we can deal with. the issue of COPE, is it COPE, Congress of what, of the people and the like? I think the salient point there, my colleague may jump in, is to say, stand alone, the word cannot be protected, the word. I'm taking another perspective. They say the word Africa. Africa cannot be a trademark per se. But Africa can be a trademark the way how it is written. A number. I can stylize it, I write it in a certain style. I can get an intellectual property on the way how it is written. But Africa, bare as it is, stand alone, you cannot. Like South Africa, it's just a name. But the way how I write it, and it's a composite mark, it can produce something that is a trademark. And then I don't know as to whether this issue of Congress, whatever, has been trademarked. It's a political name. It's another issue. But we were asked to say what will be the outcome. We recited what we are saying to say probably the judge will say nobody owns the name conclusion, but the way how conclusion is written can be intellectual property, trademark can be claimed on that. Probably that's what the court followed. That is as far as I can say. The other issue indigenous community, we considered to say this definition should not be static. The portfolio committee also invited the linguistics, there is a commission on linguistics something. They came with their various definitions, and then they say, here is our definition, you can improve it like this. However, we agree that this is a workable working definition. There are many definitions on the same issue for various purposes, but we think you are going to the correct direction. And internationally, this International Labour Organization, it also deals with intellectual property on traditional matters. They chose to say we should not define what is a community, because you will go into political issues now where you say who is indigenous, who is not indigenous, what are the years and the like. So leave it to the courts, and then they said it in passing to say the courts can progressively define. And but we try to come with something as a nuclear, as a starting point, but we are saying it may not be conclusive. The other issue of funding, I will come to it. The consultation internationally, we said there is nothing there. People are just talking, but nothing is coming to the fore.
What is it?
The issue of registering community structures and the like. Charmaine said this deal per se is not changing traditional, customary law. This bill recognizes, if we read it properly, recognizes structures that are on the ground to say, we would like you maybe to register your trademark. As an example, we don't say convert into a company law. It's a must. If you don't convert into a company law, you cannot own this thing. Charmaine may substantiate that. We recognize the community protocol under the tree. We say, who is your representative? And you come. And then just to build on that, their knowledge, we said it can be given to the commission. The commission is the one for registration of intellectual property. They can give it to say, we call it defensive registration. To say, whenever McDonald's come, you must not give an intellectual property based on this thing, because this thing belongs to us. In other words, they are defending their property, but not for commercial purposes. Just to say, don't give a name like this. It happens in the U.S. Rooibos was registered by a South African, not the U.S. national. It was Dr. Theron who went there and registered Rooibos, because he was working with these people of Rooibos. And then when they searched in the database, there was nothing written Rooibos. So the examiner said, oh, so this is new. It is not in our database. Then I'm granting a trademark. So therefore, if I go to the commission and put this in, when they search, they will find this one already exists. And where there's a confidentiality, it should not be revealed to the public. I think that's how I can respond to it. The cost implication, to be honest, is that there was a real regulatory impact assessment which was conducted on the bill. And then I don't know whether whether the document was circulated. Yes, way back. It was there. It was circulated, but just in summary, the DTI did a regulatory impact assessment assisted by the Presidency, National Treasury, and the consultants. So the consultants went beyond what we requested. We said this bill is already approved by Cabinet. It should have been done before. Only do the benefit, cost and benefit analysis. In many areas, they were just saying, we don't know what will be the cost. But coming to the issue, and we even gave the issue of the value chain of rooibos. I talked about 160 million. So the value chain of only rooibos is 160 million.
That is an indication of the benefits. And then we think implementing this bill, which is just amending the act, the other act, the cost will be lower than the benefits. We only took the rooibos because there are books written about the value chain of the rooibos. And then in Swazilandia, they are coming with other indigenous shrubs with a value chain. But those consultants could not go into that area. So I'm just indicating that the issue of cost will be outweighed by the benefits. In the Makassar community, as an example, the Nestle case, the fact that they wanted to go there and and register is an indication that there are benefits, but they are not quantified. And then the other issue is taking Mwenda Meli, and Johan will do that. The issue of folks that indigenous, I think we dealt with. COPE, Congress, IP, we dealt with. And then, I don't know, I will be reminded if there are other issues. How many public hearings we held? I thought I recited to say we went out, all out. And then, yeah. Mwenda Meli and Johan and Sandomeva, please substantiate.
But can I please give to Simpiwa if you want to say something, Simpiwa?
Yeah.
Then Johan, Mwenda Meli, and then Chami.
No, I think he covered all the questions except for the ones which had to be handled by
Johan or Mwenda Meli.
Thank you, President. I will touch upon the issue that was raised by the honorable member, the issue of why, what would be wrong if the bill is referred to the National House of Traditional Leaders, and also the issue of why should it not be taken as a Section 76. Chair, I would like to say that it's not a question of whether it would be wrong or right to refer the bill to the National House of Traditional Leaders. I think the question would be, is there a legal requirement that compels Parliament to refer the bill to the National House of Traditional Leaders? Chair, there is the National House of Traditional Leaders Act that gives guidance to this issue. Section 18 of this Act, Chair, states that any parliamentary bill pertaining to customary law or customs of traditional communities must, before it is passed by the House of Parliament, where it was introduced, be referred to the National House of Traditional Leaders. Now, Chair, this requirement says that the bill must pertain to customary law. Now, the question is, Chair, is this bill pertaining to customary law? Now, Chair, the Tongwane judgment, Chair, gave us guidance on this issue, Chair, and says that if you want to establish whether there is customary law being dealt with here, there shouldn't be something abstract, Chair. There should be a specific area of customary law that is being dealt with by the bill. It gave an example, Chair, whether it would be matrimonial property law, that is under customary law, Chair, or indigenous law, or interstate succession, Chair, which is part of indigenous law, or occupation of communal land, Chair, which is also part of customary law, Chair. Because, for instance, Chair, in the indigenous community, Chair, if, for instance, there is a newlywed couple, then that newlywed couple, Chair, would approach the chief or induna or the head of that particular indigenous community so that a piece of land could be allocated to that newlywed couple. That is the law, Chair. Yeah. Now, Chair, in this bill, Chair, there is no provision in this bill, Chair, that is directing or compelling or instructing indigenous communities to handle customary law. I don't want to say, Chair, because in my view, Chair, it really doesn't deal with customary law, Chair. But there is no provision in the bill that directs communities on even how to design or develop indigenous law, Chair. It is just recognizing, Chair, and protecting indigenous law, Chair. It doesn't affect them, doesn't even direct people to amend or repeal or do whatever their customary law or
rather indigenous knowledge. Now, Chair, that will be the way, that will be how you would refer this bill to the household traditional leaders as a legal requirement, Chair, if the bill deals with customary law, which I strongly feel, Chair, that it does not deal with customary law as such. Be that as it may, Chair, as stated earlier, Parliament always has the right to consult anybody, Chair, on any bill or any area of the law that it is processing. McDonald has elaborated on that issue, on that the traditional leaders were consulted on this bill. Now, Chair, the issue of Section 76, that was raised by the Honourable Member, Chair, guidance, if, Chair, we want to pass a bill in terms of Section 76 procedure, wherein there will be negotiating mandates and go to the provinces and everything, Chair, then that bill, Chair, will have to be taken, Section 76, and guidance, Chair, on that issue is to be heard in the Constitution. Because the Constitution says, Chair, if a matter falls within the functional area of Article 4 of the Constitution, then that bill, Chair, should be taken, Section 76. Now, Chair, Article 4 of the Constitution, Chair, under the provisions of the bill, Chair, in my view, do not fall in any of the functional areas contained in Schedule 4 of the Constitution, wherein we will be compelled to take the bill in Section 76. Therefore, Chair, as I stated before, Chair, that the bill maybe does not really deal with customary law. Therefore, Chair, we cannot take it, or we cannot have to take it at the Section 76 bill, Chair, because it does not deal with customary law as such. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. If I can, I'm going to maybe start as the questions came and run through them that way. The first question was to some extent answered by McDonald, but I would like to add, the question was, how do we protect the knowledge of our grandparents? And then the question continued, especially traditional healers. Now, intellectual property, one of the well-known characteristics is that you're looking at something new, novel, mustn't be part of the state of the art, you know? And that is a big, it was a big challenge when it comes to indigenous knowledge, because here we are talking about something coming from sometimes generations, not written down, etc. What we have done in this bill is to actually provide for that. In each of the copyrights, the trademarks, and the designs, we have differentiated between indigenous works for copyrights, terms and expressions for trademarks and designs in the Designs Act, and those, and I can refer you maybe to the one definition because it's more or less the same in all of the different amendments on page... get the right page. Page 7, the definition of indigenous work. The last sentence of that definition reads, or the last part reads, and which literary, artistic, or musical work is regarded as part of the heritage of such indigenous communities. Then later on, when we provide for protection, we have specifically indicated that indigenous works will be protected regardless of what this Act requires. So novelty falls away when it comes to those works. Then we have said, but you might have something that is exactly this work that has been passed on from generations. Someone took a song that they were taught as a child, and they used just one slight refrain in that song as part of a pop song. So they've taken from that and putting it into something totally new, and that we've called derivative. And your current intellectual property laws is almost duplicated in respect of those, in that they must be novel and so on. So that is how we can say that what has come from our grandparents will in fact be protected. On the traditional leaders, just the one question, Mongameli actually spoke to that already, but I would just like to point out that it's not that there is a fear of taking this to the traditional leaders. We must differentiate between process that is legally required and consultation. And consultation, as was indicated by McDonald, happened. And furthermore, the House of Traditional Leaders actually made a presentation to the Portfolio Committee. And all of their recommendations for amendments have been taken into account when the redraft was done. Also, during that presentation, the House of Traditional Leaders did not indicate that they regard this as a bill that falls within their act. So, legally speaking, that process need not be followed. But looking at what we're dealing with, yes, consultation is absolutely necessary and they must play a role, and that is why they are incorporated in the council, in the National Council, as part of the members. On copyright, there was a question about limited period. Now, if I can take you to page 11, the term of protection. And yes, that is that differentiation that I spoke about, indigenous works and derivative indigenous works, comes into play. Because if you look at section 28F, subsection 2, we say that, section 1, subsection B, sorry, indigenous work referred to in 28C3B will be in perpetuity. Now, if we refer to 28B3, subsection B, that is indigenous work. In other words, indigenous work, where there is heritage that plays a role, comes from maybe a past generation or even 20, 30 generations past, they will last forever. And the reason for that was that your community currently holds that copyright or that trademark or that design in trust for their children. And when their children become adults, they will, as a community, hold it in trust for their children. So it must be perpetual. It can't be limited as normal copyright. And the same thing goes for trademarks and for design. Whereas if it's something that's derived, the song that I've made an example of, the pop song that's created, and it has a tiny refrain of a childhood song, that song will come to an end. The copyright on that song will come to an end. How to get people registered? I wanted to maybe add something to that. McDonald has addressed it, but I would also like to refer you to page 12, to section 28I. This is the National Trust that is being created. One of the roles of the National Trust in 28I, subsection 2B, is to facilitate the development of Indigenous communities with respect to training on and awareness of their intellectual property and associated rights. So the Trust is going to play a very pivotal role in the success of this bill, in that it doesn't help you have a register where communities can come and register, but they don't have an idea that they can, or if they know how that they can, how to do it, or what can be protected. There must be training. And that is where the Trust plays a very, very large role. Also, just to show that there is input from the communities in this, the Trust will fall within the Department of Trade and Industry. And if you go to page 15, the functions of the National Council, 28M, subsection 1A, the Council, remember, part of the Council will be members of the House of Traditional Leaders, must advise the Minister on any matter concerning Indigenous cultural expressions or knowledge. So what we have here is that your council, which will include the House of Traditional Leaders, which will include experts on various fields, must advise the Minister on these on Indigenous knowledge, and the Minister, whether the Trust reports to the Minister, and there will be a performance relationship, will require the Trust to bring that down into the communities and do the necessary training. Also, just on the cost implications, just to indicate to this committee that cost was something very seriously considered when this bill was redrafted and when the Portfolio Committee considered it. It is going to be costly. We can't get around that. We are creating a trust. We are creating a council. But what we have done, because there's this benefit that McDonald was talking about, this must be done. We need to protect this. I mean, if you think about the amount of revenue that is going out of our country, and our communities are not seeing a single jota of that. It's gone. We need that benefit. So this bill is necessary. And we acknowledge that there will be costs. So what does it do? The database that is created is not new. It is the existing database that is currently run by the CIPC. That's it. The trust, yes, there will be costs involved in that trust, but that will run as part of the DGI, and that DGI will have to look at budget and therefore look at what they can afford in respect of what Treasury can provide in how big they can start this trust off. At some point, because the trust will be owner of certain intellectual properties, the trust will start generating revenue. Because when something is not owned by a community, or the community is unknown, sorry, where the community is unknown, or something is owned actually by South Africa as a community, that will be something that the trust will have ownership of. So if someone would like to use that, then the trust will receive royalty. So there will be an income generated, maybe not from the start, but the idea is that the trust should become self-sufficient with time. Furthermore, with the council, we have made sure that this council is not a body that will just, I'll try and put it very politically correctly, I hope. We didn't want a council where the only time you see the council members is if they arrive in very expensive vehicles and very expensive suits, and that's all you hear about them. That's not what this council is about. This council is supposed to assist communities. Broadly speaking, that is where their focus must lie. So we've made quite sure that we indicate there will be members, but this council is not going to be a permanent body. It is going to be a council that meets at least 7 times a year, and during those meetings, that's where expenses will be incurred. Because you will not going to be remunerated for the fact that your name is on the council. You will be remunerated when you perform a function. And that is actually regulated by National Treasury, where they provide for councils and boards and committees and their remuneration. And National Treasury is quite strict on that. So your costs will only be incurred where there is an actual meeting. Preparation time, travel, and the actual meeting time. So we have tried to keep costs down in this bill. I don't think that we could do a lot more. With the trust, we even thought of maybe bringing it within the budget line of the CIPC. But the problem that you have then is that then any money earned falls into the National Revenue Fund and will be allocated to wherever. So money earned might be used for roads, which is not what the purpose would be of royalty. So just to indicate on cost, you have tried to do that. Indigenous communities and the definition thereof, I think this is probably the fifth or the sixth definition that we've ended up with. And we had experts in, I think we had Dr. Jana von Braun and Professor Ntuli, and they are sociology experts, and they assisted to craft a definition. And currently this definition is quite broad, and it might even be that a fork start might be a community, whether intended or not. But any community out there that regards themselves as indigenous and that complies with this definition must be protected. And if they then have heritage that they want to register, there's no reason why this bill should not protect. So it is broad. We have even provided where a community does not have to be located in one area. That was another issue that we tangled with, where the question was, but what if people arrived in South Africa? We had the German community arrived in South Africa, didn't settle in one place like the French, settled in Franschhoek. They arrived and they spread across the country, but all of us know about the German Beer Fest, which is an absolute German cultural festival. So we have even provided that that kind of community, even though they might live in different areas of South Africa, if they regard themselves as a community, if they share certain cultural practices, then they might be considered as a community. On the Freedom Charter question, there's something, another aspect that I want to address there. It is going to happen that more than one community claims rights to a custom or a dance or a song or whatever. It is going to happen, which is why we brought in the alternative dispute resolution mechanism. So what will happen is that either these communities will have to make peace and share, or the work will be registered within the National Trust and will be administered on behalf of all those communities. So we have thought of that. I don't think necessarily that we have a perfect solution, but we have a proposed solution that could assist towards resolving that problem, because it will happen. There's no doubt. I think when we had our example, the redance, for instance, came up between Swazi and Zulu. And the question is who, you know, it can't be a question of who comes first, because we want to protect. We don't, this is not a race. Whoever is first to register gets the money. No. If the community comes and says, but wait, this dance that you have registered, this is ours, then there will be alternative dispute resolution mechanism. And we have provided that communities, the customs and practices of communities in resolving disputes must actually be taken into account during this alternative dispute resolution. So I do think that it might not be perfect, but there is definitely something to assist in that regard. Then the last point that I would like to talk about is how do we protect once we have now provided this protection? And that to me speaks to enforcement of this bill. Currently, the enforcement, that is actually a question that was also considered. Intellectual property currently does have some methods of enforcement. You can lodge a complaint, you can go to the court, etc. We have the alternative dispute resolution mechanism, because your communities might not necessarily have the funds to go to a court. And they can come and lodge a complaint to say, but you are using something of mine and you're not giving me any royalties. So there are those kind of things. We don't think that that is necessarily the best that can be provided in the long run. But we also need to accept that in South Africa this bill, and actually globally, because there are countries that have examples, but if you look at the World Intellectual Property Organization and how they struggle to grasp what we're dealing with and how to get around and protect, this is not an easy subject. And it is accepted that this bill is the first step towards protection. There will have to be changes, either to this, to the four acts again, or there will have to be some overarching kind of legislation that addresses Indigenous knowledge protection. This is not going to be the last that we hear of protection of Indigenous knowledge. It will have to develop. Just like any new field of law, you make your first step, things will happen in practice, you will see this might work better if we do it that way, and then there will be a process of developing, which could be by way of amending this, the four acts again, or like I said, maybe even taking hands in respect of patents, biodiversity, and in respect of all of these, bring out some broader act. But for that, we will also have to look at what globally is happening and what direction the world is moving. So we're not ready for an act like that at this point in time. But nothing's to stop and say that might happen in future. And that is then where, if we see something's not working, it will be addressed. Thank you. I think that I have addressed most, I think, all of the questions that wasn't addressed by McDonald.
Johan, would you like to run off?
Ted, I think in view of what has been said, what I'm likely to say is superfluous. I'll be very, very brief. Just allow me to refer to page 10 of the bill. Reference has been made as to the legal capacity of Indigenous communities as to whether they would qualify as touristic persons. It has been quite a contentious issue. But there is the provision on page 10 of the bill in line 5 at the top there, 28 capital D. For the purposes of this act, an Indigenous community is deemed to be a juristic person. The reason for this provision is that in terms of the intellectual property laws, an intellectual property right can only be registered in the name of either an individual or a juristic person. So if an indigenous community would approach the registrar for registration of some of these rights, and any dispute arises as to whether they have the legal capacity to do so, irrespective of the fact that they might not qualify, formally speaking, as a juristic person, they would qualify on the basis of this provision. And my last little observation, Chair, we've made a few references to the definition of indigenous community, which is a bit wide and vague, as has been explained. If the members would like to refer maybe to the definition as such, it is on page 6 of the bill, just below the middle. On page 6, just below the middle, there is the, or one of the definitions of indigenous community. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Now we have it. Now I've got all the responses. Any follow-up? Hoshi?
No, thank you, Chairperson. I'm satisfied. As long as they manage to have an agreement with the president from Contralesa, because before we can have the House of Traditional Leaders, we have Contralesa first. So I'm satisfied. But I'm worried that you didn't take them home to Limpopo. So I believe, you know, Limpopo is a traditional area. All these people who want to live okay, they visit our province. Irrespective of religion or whatever, they know in Limpopo there is life. So I hope they'll go to Limpopo and make an awareness on this bill, so that people are in the knowledge, they have a knowledge on how they can register and all these other things. So I'm satisfied. Thank you.
Hello, Adam.
Chair, no, thank you very much, Chair. Chair, you know, I'm still a bit worried about tagging of the bill, because I know at one stage the Constitutional Court has referred the bill back to the NCLT. There's also tag 75. The court has found that there was not enough public engagement done by the NCLT on this regard. And we know the Constitution says 75 bills is in actual fact the domain of the National Assembly. But I think a bill where we talked about and where the minister has to consult with most of the scheduled four counterparts, most of the ministers that is listed in the Schedule 4 of the Constitution, agriculture, arts and culture, environmental affairs, health, science and technology, organized local governments, Sisha Sauga. I'm worried. Will this bill hold up in the Constitutional Court if someone challenges in that regard? I'm really worried about that.
We have Mongameli, Johan.
If you would allow me, Chair, I hope that we will be fair in our explanation. Needless to say that if a bill relates to any of the items listed in Schedule 4, to the Constitution, that members might not be in possession of the schedule, but it does not matter, then the bill should be tagged as a Section 76 bill. Now, without trying to amplify or echo some of the sentiments that my friend and colleague, Advocate Quetta, has made, please just allow me maybe to say the following. I think Advocate Quetta has in fact indicated that one of the items under Schedule 4 is indeed indigenous, I'm reading it here, indigenous law and customary law. So the answer would be fairly simple if we say that this bill does relate to that item then it should have been that by section 76 bill. And indeed, some concern and worries have been expressed in this regard. But all that I would like to say is the following. Here is this bill. It runs into 38 pages of fairly fine print. And if we apply that test as to whether this bill in essence relates to customary law, it would not suffice merely to have a look maybe at section 29 and to say that here is a provision that refers in some remote way to customary law. And therefore, the bill should be tagged a section 76 bill. The test is this. If we read this bill in total, the whole bill, and we try to derive or reduce what is the substantive essence of the matter that this bill is dealing with, can we then fairly say that this bill relates to customary law? Now, with all due respect, if we read this bill and try to reduce the essence, I do not see how we can come to that conclusion. The essence of this bill and the fundamental subject matter that this bill deals with is definitely not customary law. It deals with intellectual property rights and the protection thereof, in particular as they will in future relate to indigenous knowledge. That is the essence of this bill. And that essence does not relate to any item that we find in Schedule 4. So we are not experts, and what we are saying, we're saying it humbly. But I think we can, in all fairness, say to this Honourable Committee that without fear of contradiction, we are satisfied that this bill is indeed a Section 75 bill and that the essence of the bill does not relate to any item that we find in Schedule 4. Thank you, Chair.
Advocate Greta, passing short on.
Thank you, Chair. Briefly, Chair. I think the case that the Honourable Member is referring to is a case of, or rather the act that was passed by Parliament, the Communal Land Rights Act, that was adjudicated upon by the Constitutional Court in the Tongwane judgment that I referred to earlier. The act was, or rather the bill was taken as a Section 75, and then the Constitutional Court stated that it should have been taken as a Section 76. Because, Chair, the provisions of the bill are dealt with customary law. And in the way they dealt with the customary law was that the provision actually changed and affected how those people would deal with their Communal Land Rights Act. It actually encroached on customary law. In that respect, the bill should have been taken in Section 76. And obviously the processes would entail that there would be much extensive consultations with the provinces, with the people out there, Chair. Now, this bill, Chair, as Chuan Trejan has stated, I can contrast that to those facts, Chair, that this particular bill, Chair, does not even deal with customary law, Chair. Because we cannot even pinpoint and say this bill is dealing with interstate succession or matrimonial property law or criminal land rights law, Chair, and customary law, Chair. The bill is just recognizing indigenous law and attempting to protect it, Chair. Therefore, Chair, in my view, really, the bill is in quality take the 725 bill. Thank you, Chair.
I was just putting a mere question there, but you know, as legal professionals are always, I was just asking, will the bill, will it stand in the Constitutional Court if someone challenged the constitutionality of the bill? Do you think that, in your mind, do you think the Constitutional Court will come to another matter? or is there any constitutional flaws?
In my legal opinion, Chair, my learned legal opinion, Chair, I think the Constitutional Court, or rather this bill, would pass the constitutional muster on the area of this taking. Thank you, Chair.
I presume that Giovanni also
speaks. I haven't been before this Honourable Committee for a long period of time. Maybe it explains my uncalled for nerves earlier this morning. I hope they have subsided by now, Chair. But be that as it may, I'm not going to elaborate any further. I think as far as the constitutionality as it relates to Section 75 or 76, I can simply echo what Mamameli has been saying. I think the more pertinent questions to be asked in respect of constitutionality is those that we raised this morning as to whether there is any retrospective application of this bill, as to whether any of the provisions of this bill may be borders on expropriation of vested rights. And even as far as that is concerned, I think written opinion has been made available. We can all reflect on that. But I hope I will not eat my words later on, sir. But we are satisfied that this bill should pass constitutional muster if any dispute would arise. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. I'm sure we found some comfort now that at least two legal gurus agree. And the third one, and also Charmaine, I can see that she agrees. Any further follow-up, and so that we can move forward to the bill? Do we want to adopt the bill if it is to the Honourable Sinclair?
Yeah. Jay, you started out to say if you've got 12 attorneys, you get 12 views. But if you add quasi-politicians like us, you quasi-jurists like us, you know, you get about 26 different opinions. The one issue which I mean, it's a hefty topic to engage, but I'm once again back to the issue of those indigenous communities, you know. If I, in my very limited understanding of this, read it, one eventually can then justify a community like, for instance, I'm just using Urania as an example, as a community that's got what the legal people would say locatenda. And if you take the context of that argument further, it certainly in terms of the constitutional dispensation that we've got in South Africa, and it can create a rumpel effect that I, in terms of my understanding, can be quite an issue. If you just refer to 28A there, where it says there's three or four things that you must do to be a indigenous community. If you do that, you're a juristic person. I don't know, Chair, but I mean, it's a difficult debate. Maybe we must come to the point where you want to pronounce on the bill or so on, and then we can agree or not agree, and then the higher authorities like the Constitutional Court and things must then decide if we were right or wrong.
But we insist that we want to agree with you. We want to reach a consensus on this matter so that you get your bite in. Johan?
This is my last sentiment. I'll be very, very brief. I just want to rectify something. The reference that's been made to lawyers being in a room, both references are incorrect. The correct reference is that if you find more than two lawyers in a room and two of them are in agreement, then at least one of them is lying. That is the correct reference. But allow me just to say just very briefly something on the definition of indigenous community that I've referred to there on page 6. Let we let us be frank, Chair, and say this. When it comes to a definition, in formulating a definition, it is easy to do the phrasing if what you are defining is fairly exact. Then you can define in fairly exact terms. But if you are creating a definition of something that is almost intrinsically vague, then the definition is a very difficult one. And we concede this is such a definition. It might give rise to dispute, but as we sit here as humble human beings this morning, we cannot see how we could have taken this definition any further. It is a definition of something that is relative and that is somewhat vague. Therefore, the definition might well be contentious.
Are we moving towards one side, Honorable Sinclair? Towards understanding. Oh, just a little bit. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
The conflict. McDonald, just round off, just close on this issue.
thanks, Chair. I think my compatriot from the the DCI legal team, the state law advisor, and the parliamentary advisor, Sintiwe, he didn't say anything, but I was conferring with him. He was advising me on things. So from our side, we plea that we have given our case, and then something that the final decision is left with yourself. And then these are difficult issues, you answered in so many words, but I think everything is workable. We find ourselves in court in the 1973 Companies Act, we got rid of it recently, but the salient point is that we don't legislate in order to end up in court. That is not what we want, but if there are disputes, there are dispute resolution mechanisms that can deal with this issue fairly, including the courts. So we are pleading that you accept our case before you, and then you deal with the process further. Thanks to my colleague and to the honorable members. Thanks.
No, thanks very much. I'm sure this is something that is coming to us, and would have space under normal circumstances. If a bill comes, it comes, we pass it through. If there are amendments that need to be done, then there is that time that comes. If they can come just as early as January, just as late as November next year. But you must have the bill in place so that we can make some amendments. There is nothing that is 100%. You know, we've got to start somewhere. And then say from this base, we move forward, and then we'll develop and change as we move, as we look at circumstances and certain issues. Honourable members, I want us to move forward with this issue. I'll give the committee secretary to sort of brief us on the process of what is going to happen so that we move forward with the bill.
Good day, honorable members and everyone present. Mine is a very short, brief process on how this process shall unfold from here. We are in the stage of a formal consideration, and in terms of the parliamentary processes, this is to be followed. First, I would like to deal with the issue of the rules of the National Council of Provinces. I will quote rule number 96, which deals with quorum and decision. Section section 1 talks about, it reads as follows: a committee may proceed with a business irrespective of the number of members present. But when a question is to be decided, members representing at least 5 provinces must be present. Going down number 2, a question is decided by supporting vote of at least 5 provinces, or if it is a constitutional amendment, at least 6. Then, with this one, this is not a constitutional amendment. Then what is going to happen is this: we are going to vote. First thing that we're going to do when we vote in this bill, we're going to vote clause by clause or section by section. It will depend with the committee how it is they would like to vote. Then we go forward and we vote for the whole bill, the bill in general, the whole bill. Then finally we vote the report that is going to be published, is this document. After that, the chairperson will sign and this report will be ATC'd. Then most probably before this parliament, you know, go into recess, it can be debated in the House. I thank you.
So it has been loud and clear. That's the process we're going to follow. We need to adopt, we need to move. Honourable Adam.
Okay, I think that, I want to propose that we vote section by section. On the bill, or page by page. It's either page by page, section by section. We can do that, the rules allow it.
So it has got 15 sections?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or close by close, it will take us longer.
Oh, okay. Simply, you want to have a rider or you have another view?
No, in my party, we've discussed this bill at length and so on. But I just want to request for adjournment for a few minutes. I just want to consult on one or two issues, because given the information that the officials and the legal team presented, there's two or three things that I think we need to take into account, specifically regarding the consultation with the traditional leaders. So I request the adjournment just for a few minutes.
Under normal circumstances, adjournments are allowed if you want to consult with your members in that particular meeting on that particular committee. I'm not sure, because you do have a mandate as you came to this committee, or whether you want to change that mandate, that is why you want to consult, or you want to consult with your inner self before you take a decision. A proposal has been made in terms of procedure. You know that any proposal needs to be seconded. Honourable Adams, Honourable Sinclair, Honourable Main.
Thank you very much. I think my colleague, Honourable Sinclair, has outlined the process. Maybe we'll go to court later. Because calls is given to court. I would like to second the proposal of Honourable Adams and to continue, because either whether when it comes back, it has no material, there's no significant, just will make a difference in terms of voting. I mean, he's alone from his party, and that is unfortunately. Thanks.
Honourable Dihane.
I support my whip and my chairperson. The other committee. I want us to continue. Whoever wants to leave or do whatever, we are not going to maybe not allow him. He might do that, but we are continuing. Thank you. Unless if they want to disagree.
Honourable Eva.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think that's not democracy, Honourable Dehale. The Chairperson must decide what needs to be done. I would like to support Honourable Finkley. Thank you.
You know, we are so democratic in this country and in this committee. We just want to follow correct procedures. We don't want to be taken to court. Anyone is free to propose something, anyone is free to second, and we follow those procedures. But in most cases, what would we want to see in this committee? That in most cases we reach consensus. We don't just go for a vote for the sake of vote. But if the shovel goes to push, we'll go there. So all processes have been followed now. It has been proposed, seconded and thirded. Honorable Sinclair has been proposed, seconded. We just need to vote. That's the correct procedure that we follow. Honorable Sinclair?
Yes, Chair, I understand your process, but I think just a request for adjournment is just natural justice. That's all that I'm asking for. I don't think it's going to derail the process further. I can even ask for a comfort break, you know.
No, but in terms of processes, with due respect, Honorable Sinclair, you've made a proposal, it has been seconded. And Honorable Adams has made a proposal, it has been seconded. We follow that correct procedure. Then it goes to a vote and we take the popular vote.
I respect your ruling. And it is a 75 bill, it is a party bill. We are here representing our political parties. And we are on the process of the bill. It's either that Cope can abstain from voting or they can vote against it. But the procedure has been laid, the proposal has been made that will be voted section by section. It's either two things, Chair, abstain or vote against it.
That's the procedure that we have to follow. So we go for voting. I think we're following the correct procedure. Those who vote for, can I please see your hands? If that was mine. Okay, just hang on a minute.
We are voting for the procedure.
Okay. We're still there. Those who say, let's move on with it. That is what we are voting for, not about the bill now. Okay, let's start once more. Okay.
Protection,
those voting against? One. Oh. Voting against. So two people voted against and five people voted for. So we'll continue with the process of adopting the bill. So, Supera, you can continue. We are continuing now with the process.
Yes, it has been agreed that we will deal with this bill section by section. We will start with section number one.
Maybe it's going to assist us to do page by page, so this will cover all our tracks. What do you see, Honorable Adams, with respect to your proposal?
No, Chair. The proposal was either section or page by page.
Okay. We agree that we'll do it page by page. Okay. Let's do it page by page. Page 2?
Page 1.
Page 2?
Agreed.
Page 3?
Agreed.
They're only 5. Oh. Five that are voting.
Yeah.
Which pages you want to count? Page 4. Page 5.
Agreed.
Page 6.
Agreed.
Page 7.
Agreed.
Page 8.
Agreed.
Page 9.
Agreed.
Page 10.
Agreed.
Page 11.
Agreed.
Page 12.
Agreed.
Page 13.
Agreed.
Page 14.
Agreed.
Page 15.
Agreed.
Page 16.
Agreed.
Page 17.
Agreed.
Page 18.
Agreed.
Page 19.
Agreed.
Page 20.
Agreed.
Page 21. Page 22. Page 23.
Agree.
Page 24.
Agree.
Page 25. Page 26.
Agree.
27.
Agree.
Page 28.
Agree.
Page 29.
Agree.
Page 30.
Agree.
Page 31.
Agree.
Page 32.
Agree.
Page 33.
Agree.
Page 34.
Agreed.
Page 35.
Agreed.
And then it's 5. Then it's the. We don't vote on the memorandum. It's 35. Now we come to the whole bill as the process. And as a proposal, one of mine,
I propose that we have the bill.
The whole bill. And the seconder, Honorable Dikale, second.
I second Mayini, Honorable Mayini.
Then next. Yeah, the procedure needs the show of hands. Those who support the whole bill once more. Those against, those abstaining, those against too.
I just want for the record to put Cope's position and hopefully the DA's position on the table. But they will speak for themselves. The reason for my decision not to support it is purely in terms of the process. I asked for adjournment just to consult, and then I was overruled. So in terms of that, firstly, I've got a problem with the process, but secondly, because I couldn't consult, I would put it on record that we abstain and would present our position later.
Now that's fine. Oh, I used to also to go into court from earlier years. Is Cope abstaining or voting against?
Firstly, we voted against the process that was followed here. But because we couldn't consult and I can't formalize my position, I'm abstaining in terms of the process that you just went through now in rectifying the various pages.
Okay, let's hear the DA.
The DA opposed, thank you.
The DA is opposed, so it's abstainers, very good today. You abstain. You won't get sick. Now I've got to read this report, the report of the Select Committee on Trade and International Relations. on the International Property Laws Amendment Bill, Bill 8B, 2010, National Assembly, Section 75, dated 16 November 2011, the Select Committee on Trade and International Relations on International Property Law Amendment, National Assembly, Section 75, referred to it and classified by the joint taking away as Section 75, report that it has agreed to the bill. Report to be considered. Member, are you considering the report? Are you adopting the report? Honorable Adam,
I want to put on record that the African National Congress accepts the report.
Any seconder? Honorable Dehari?
I am seconding Honorable Adams.
Show of hands. ANC.
Against.
One. Abstaining. One. Okay. I want to say
this off record, which means the one we just married, BA code.
Honourable members, ladies and gentlemen, thanks very much. Thanks very much to the department, to all the legal gurus. Thanks very much, Sir Roach. Thanks very much, Simpiwe McDonald. Thanks very much. The meeting now stands adjourned. I'll just put my signature, then the meeting stands adjourned. Thanks, sir.
If members can just have 1 minute, if we can just have 1 minute of members' time, please. No, all members.
Thank you very much.